Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are about to wrap up 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 that we have been looking at over the last couple of broadcasts and move into verses 5 and following, which is one of the richest sections in all the New Testament. Certainly, at least one of my favorite sections, and it has always been very helpful and instructive to me. But before we move into verse 5, let's look once more at verse 4. Which says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm mightily tempted to go back through that verse again, but we've already done that. But this is certainly one of the most outstanding and provocative verses in all the New Testament. This is the only one that I'm aware of that puts it to us in such plain language that as Christians we have become partakers of the divine nature. And that's a concept that has to be thoughtfully studied, weighed very carefully against the teaching of God's Word, because it could lead us into heresy. But we've already been over all of that. But let's just see if we can summarize what Peter is telling us here. And basically, he's telling us that if we have been saved, it is impossible to be unchanged. You can't be saved and be unchanged. Yes, there's a great change coming, but there is a great change that has already occurred and is ongoing. And if you don't see that, if you don't know that to be true in your case, if you don't see evidence for that, if you cannot put your finger on changes that have been made within you by the work of the Spirit of God that are related to your becoming a partaker of the divine nature, then, dear friend, it is doubtful that you have truly been saved. You've got to give that some consideration. Now let me pause and welcome you to this Monday, September 15 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And thank those radio listeners whose financial gifts enable us to keep teaching on the station. Now, whenever I get into a section like this, I know that I'm going to trouble some people who are true children of God. And I don't want to do that, but it's probably inevitable because there are some people who are very sensitive to the things of the Spirit of God, but not particularly well taught. And they can get very troubled by a message like this and see all kinds of reasons within themselves why they probably are not saved, because they still see an awful lot of old Adam, which we all have as children of God. So let me just simply say that if you are listening to this broadcast, that's a good sign. Unquestionable sign, but a pretty good sign of conversion, because you apparently have an interest in spiritual things that most people don't have. That's a good sign. The fact that you would be troubled about your salvation is also a good sign, actually, because it shows that you are actually sensitive to spiritual truth and your conscience is tender. Whereas a hypocrite, a pretender, a counterfeit, is much more likely to be hard and brazen and unmoved by any evidence. So, if you're sensitive to this and troubled by it, I think you are probably a true child of God. I'm more concerned about the people who can listen to something like this, and others can see that it probably applies to you, but somehow it doesn't occur to you that it does. But I want to say it again, it is impossible to be saved and to be unchanged. Now, in the case of adults, there's usually a clear and even dramatic change when an adult passes from death to life, when an adult is born into the family of God. Usually such a clear and dramatic change that there's not much question about it. For younger people, it is sometimes less obvious, but hear me now, there still will be a change. You can't go from being old Adam to new Adam. The new Adam, of course, is Christ, but you can't go from being related to the old Adam and have that work of God's grace in your heart that removes you from your relationship to the old Adam and attaches you to the new Adam, Jesus Christ, the second Adam. You can't do that without any changes in your life. And so you need to look into Scripture for descriptions of the Adamic nature, so you know what that looks like, and look to Scripture for descriptions of the new nature, the new creature in Christ Jesus, and find out what that's like. And you need to learn how to discern inward corruption and know what that looks like even in a child of God, and learn to recognize the evidences of the new nature in the fruit of the Spirit and so forth, and come to a biblical conclusion about your relationship with Christ. Are you saved? Have you been changed? And what does that look like? What ought it to look like? What does the Bible indicate that it looks like? That's what you want to find out. And if you are not certain, go to Christ. Just go to Christ and tell him your concern and cast yourself upon him. And if you're already a child of God, it won't hurt you to do this. It won't hurt you to go to him and say, "Oh, dear Lord Jesus, I trust in you. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve eternal condemnation. I'm trusting you and you alone. I'm trusting your perfect righteousness to be imputed to me because I must have that or I'm doomed. I trust your death upon the cross to count for me because I must have that payment for my sins or else I shall be damned before the judgment bar of God. O Lord Jesus Christ, I embrace you as my only hope of salvation. I embrace you as my Lord and Savior." You won't be harmed by doing that again, but you'll sure be in danger if you're unwilling to even consider doing anything like that. And just remember that Jesus Christ is able to save and will save all who come to him in repentance and faith. He promises to do that. He's both able and willing to receive everyone who comes this way. And then as a child of God, get into the Word, read it, study it, hear it, spread it, be involved in God-centered evangelism, Word-centered evangelism. Make your life count for Christ. You've got a limited amount of time here upon the earth, and you need to make it count for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I took a little longer reviewing verse 4 and summarizing verse 4 than I intended to, but now we need to move into verse 5. And what we're going to see in 2 Peter 1, 5 and following is a list of Christian virtues. And there are quite a few of these in the Bible, probably the best known of which is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. I referred to it a moment ago. And the Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance. I think I left one of them out. But there's a ninefold fruit of the Spirit there. That's a very well-known list of what the Holy Spirit of God does within the lives of those that he saves. But it may be that the second best known list of this nature is the one found here in 2 Peter chapter 1. It is the evidences of God's grace in our lives if we are saved, but it is also the responsibilities of grace in the lives of those who are saved. And what do I mean by that? Well, Peter tells us here that we're supposed to be doing something. Let me read it. Verse 5, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith." You have faith, saving faith. What do? Add to it. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And there's where the list stops, though he goes on to say a few more things about it in the next few verses, which need to be considered in the light of this list. But do you see what Peter is saying? He's saying it is your responsibility as a Christian to work at developing these virtues in your life. Now, Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 is more focused upon what God does. He tells us first what the works of the flesh are, and then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. And he tells us what the Holy Spirit works in the lives of God's people. But there's no contradiction here. Paul is not saying that the Holy Spirit works all of those things in our lives without any work on our part. He's just saying that we can't do it apart from the Holy Spirit. So Paul is emphasizing the work of the Spirit preeminently, though not denying the work of the believer in concert with the work of the Holy Spirit to see these things produced in his life. Peter takes it the other way around. He emphasizes the responsibility of the believer to work these virtues, these spiritual fruits into his life, though Peter is not suggesting that we can do that in our own strength. He would also say very readily that we can only do this in the power of God's Holy Spirit. But there are some things that we need to see in our lives, and if we have been saved by the grace of God, we're going to have a desire to see those things there. We're going to be concerned about it. And the person who is unconcerned about it is the person that I'm concerned about. If you're not concerned, I'm concerned. If you're concerned, I'm not too concerned. It's not that any of us have these things developed to perfection in our lives. Far, far from it. But God's true children have a God-given desire to see these things there. And we're going to be looking at these one by one over the next few broadcasts, and I trust that it will be a profitable study. And so please join me tomorrow. And until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. We'd love to hear from you. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.